In him was life, and that light was the light of men. Those who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. The word of God is life. The word of God brings light. Experience the wisdom, presence, and the power of Jesus Christ through the ministry of his servant, Jonathan Lagan. Welcome to Pneumatech.
It says, let everything that has breath, the only kind of noise that is permitted and licensed is what the Bible calls a joyful noise. One quick advice for you before we get seated. Never allow anything short your praise. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Some of you that are too quiet, I don't know if you will cope in heaven. I'm not sure they have speakers in heaven. I'm sure everything in heaven is a speaker to amplify the voice. You know what I mean by speaker? Loud speakers. Huh? So that everybody in heaven must feel the praise that is going to God. Now, in the next 10 seconds, make the devil mad with your praise. Oh, you are still pretending to praise. You are not praising him yet. Shout with a voice of triumph. Hey, hey, hey. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. It seems many of us are alive now. Hallelujah. The Bible says he's enthroned in the praise of his people. Wave your hands and give him glory.
Glory be to God. In the highest.
Sing it with me.
Glory be to God in the highest.
God wants to hear your voice. For his mercy.
For his mercy.
That's good, young.
His mercy.
Now lift your hands. Say glory be to your God. Sing it like you mean it.
Hey. I am Moshe Prete Manatai.
For his mercy.
Father, thank you for your mercies that endures towards us forever. We do not serve a dead God. We serve a God that is alive. Glory be to your name. How excellent is your name in all the earth. Thank you for your presence. And I know somebody's life is about to change. bless us tonight in Jesus' name. You are going to hold somebody's hands. We are going to pray in the spirit for 5 minutes. I just want you to exercise your spirit. Some of us get so busy during the week, you don't have time to pray. And you need to meet God at a level to receive from Him. So find somebody that can pray. Just two. You are going to pray in the spirit for the next 5 minutes. I'd like you to open your heart and begin to trust God for what He wants to do tonight. Listen, you came here not knowing if God sent me to speak to you directly. In the next few minutes when we open the word, you may just realize God really was talking to you. So that's why I want you to take the service as though you are the only one here. Amen? So that the word of God can prosper. In 5 minutes, open your mouth where you are. We are going to pray in the spirit. And make sure you open your mouth and pray out loud. Sombra teke livi hundu saha. Membre te kraskete le baha kreskiva la hagaya. Exercise your spirit. Mandolo kosi brahate premahazia mahasha. Barate kle ruhusi krehle nebolos. Barande kreso protokomo sola. Lende le kefrahade subrahate le mahaga. Stir up your spirit, man. Building up yourself on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. Edify yourself. Stir up the faith that is in your spirit. Insist for a turnaround in your life. Insist for the hand of God to rest upon you. Insist for an impartation of grace. Everywhere, lift your voice and pray. From the front to the back. From the left to the right. Outside, pray. Following online, pray. Roseke paradabai. You are drawing strength from Him as you pray. You are drawing strength from the omnipotent God. It says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That the Lord will prosper in your life today. There's something new in our lives. Something new in our lives. Something new in my life today. There's something new in my life. Something new in my life. Something new. In my life today. Ora mane che sia loro mona na na dai sanne something new in my life. Something new in my life. Something new in my life. So here we are in your breath. Just one touch on your
Lord, open our understanding tonight. Let there be an infusion of power, an impartation of grace. Let strength be released in us. Lift your voice and pray in the spirit. 2 more minutes. Raise your voice. Let the heavens hear you. Elemoko sanda kala mahali amis. Ora nama de vos. We seek your O que la basson tono moya la dama. In this place.
Your word to prosper in our hearts and in our lives. Everyone that is weak draws strength from your presence. Let there be an infusion of your power in the hearers of this word. Let the sick be healed. Let every oppression break off of the life of your people. Glorify your name in this place. In the name of Jesus Christ. There's somebody with a sister who is called Miracle. And the Lord says, divine intervention is coming for Miracle this week. In the name of Jesus Christ. I don't know whether it's online or here in this place. Divine intervention is coming for that person. Your sister's name is Miracle. I don't know what kind of sister, but your sister's name is Miracle. God says divine intervention is coming for her this week. And in the name of Jesus, I prophesy to everyone here that this week you will experience divine intervention in every aspect of your life in Jesus' name. Make it a thunderous amen. God bless you. Be seated in the presence of the Lord. We're going to hear the word of God tonight that will transform us, that will empower us in a mighty way, and we will never be the same in Jesus' name. Welcome to Pneumatech, the experience of His wisdom, presence, and power. Amen. two things before we get to the word. Just to make a very brief announcement. By the end of this service, we have a welfare distribution for students. Tertiary institution students, there's going to be a welfare distribution for all of you. I think we can clap for that. Amen. So, as soon as the service is over, where are they going to stay? Where behind? Okay. Overflow? Okay. So there will be chairs arranged outside. As soon as we are done with the service, all tertiary institution students just move to those chairs outside and get seated. We believe in order in this place. So you get seated and you'll be attended to briefly. Your boss will not leave you. Your boss will be waiting for you. Amen? God bless you for that in Jesus' name. So if you know your friend that is not here, better call them to come now. If he passed today, no more. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If they come next week, it's a miracle that they will receive. Miracle. Amen. So today is the physical one. So better start sending them a WhatsApp message now. Say, oh boy, come. Oh, no be online thing. Come. If they happen, yeah. Amen. And then, want to apologize. Of course, for those of us in Maiduguri, we know the season where we are and that we are in right now. It's hot, very hot. And we advise that you are always hydrated. Stay hydrated by taking water frequently. We do not make provision for free water here any longer. But at the sales section outside, there is water on sale or water for sale. So you can go get yourself and make sure you stay hydrated. Amen. Try to see how we can wrap up quickly because of the heat. So please, just bear with the weather. Thank God that you are here, and you'll be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Did you like my story about Mr. A and Mr. B? So for your information, I was Mr. B. Take it up by one. See them. In your mind now, you want to come and ask me what happened. We've come to behold your face. Your face. Your face. We've come to behold your face. Your face. Behold your face. How many of you still remember this song? You come to behold your face, your face, your face. Come to behold your face, your face, behold your face. Sing it again. Come to behold your face. Let's clap. We're going to sing it again.
Say we've come to be heard.
listen.
We gather to just, let me sing the other verse. So that you know this is what we came to do. I'm still trying to master the song. We gather just to hear a word. Your word. Hear your word. We gather just to hear a word. Your word. To hear your word. Let me sing it again. We gather just to hear a word. A word. Hear your word. We gather just to hear a word. Your word, to hear your word. We've come to behold, we've come to behold
your face, your face, your face.
We've come to behold your face.
Sing it one more time.
We've come to behold your face. That's what we have come to do tonight. We've come to hear his word. That's why we have gathered. One word from God can change your life. The day you believe it, that day the change will start. Do you know that even when you don't understand the word, there's something it does to you? Just hearing the word brings blessings upon you. Revelation chapter 1 verse 1, 2 and 3 says, blessed is he that readeth. If you can be blessed by just reading, how much more when you understand? The word of God creates an atmosphere. Those that understand are empowered. Those that don't understand but hear, something begins to happen inside of them. Much later your understanding may come, but the blessing starts from hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing. And one of the most powerful atmospheres you can have, I mean, an atmosphere that can guarantee miracles, is an atmosphere where the word of God is being taught. And God has blessed us with that in this house. Amen. This song, I think we need to go do it. Maybe we'll travel to Abuja and do this song. We need to go and do and put it out before somebody here will steal the song and go and put it. If you steal it, amen. I'll talk to K Strings too. I'll plead with him to be part of this song. So last week we talked about the power of resurrection. Those of you that were not around, do well to go back and listen again. It's online. You can go and watch the service of last week. We explored the power of resurrection that brought Jesus back from the dead. And we realize that that power is what is at work in us now. And our life as believers and our journey in the faith is going to be facilitated by that power. And it's because of that power of resurrection that we have victory over death, over sin. And that we are now new creatures in Christ Jesus. Because through the crucifixion of Jesus, we died to sin. And in the resurrection of Jesus, we were raised to a new life and we conquered death. Amen and amen. But he didn't stop there. He didn't just resurrect it. Or he didn't just resurrect. He ascended out of the grave from the earth and into heaven. And the ascension of Jesus into heaven shows us something very powerful that affects the life of every believer. Today is going to be centered more around our callings, our graces, our ordinations as believers. Did you hear what I said? Yeah, so the ascension of Jesus in particular affects your divine call. So we are going to explore it today, examine it, and then you will understand how powerful your divine calling is. Every one of us have been called to a divine purpose that we are here on earth to fulfill. I want to show you today the facility or the infrastructure that has brought about that calling, and why, if you understand what I will say tonight, you will know that it is impossible to fail in your divine calling. Somebody say amen. Amen. Operating from the realm of ascension. I took time to pray for God to give us understanding. I was even afraid that what I'm saying or what I will teach tonight will not be too big for us. It's not supposed to be so, but just pay attention. You will learn something today. Amen. I'll take it slow, gradually, and very simplified, but you need to understand it. Especially those of you who feel you are called into ministry, what you will hear today will change your mentality completely. And it will impart in you a confidence with which you will go about doing what God has called you to do in such a way that you will never think of quitting, you will never fail, and you will be empowered to succeed. Please pay me your undivided attention. Romans chapter 8 verse 28.
All things are working for my good.
I'm sure that's where they got the song from.
He's intentional, never failing. I know that all things are working for my good. He's intentional.
Okay, let's sing it again.
Never failing.
All things are
working for my good.
It's intentional.
Never failing.
We know that all things are working for my good.
He's intentional.
He's intentional about your life.
Never failing.
Let's read the scripture now. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love, and to those who are called according to his purpose. So all things work together for good to two sets of people. First of all, those who love God. Number two, to those who are the called. That word "the" is a definite article there, meaning it's talking about a particular set of people. Keep the scripture, please. Those who are the called according to his purpose. Those who are the called according to his purpose. Ephesians 4 verse 8. I'll come back to this scripture, but let's just run through both texts. So every one of us are called to a divine purpose in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says because of that, God has an insurance plan, a premium package that is only for those who are the called according to his purpose. And that insurance plan is that everything will work out itself for our advantage. Whether it's a bad or a good situation, the end of it will be to our advantage. It doesn't happen to everybody. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It doesn't happen to unbelievers. It only happens to those who are called according to his purpose. Those who have been saved in Christ Jesus and are now called to a divine purpose. all things work together. Say amen to that. It's a powerful thing for every and anything to work in your advantage. That means you shouldn't go through life discouraged. You shouldn't walk around filled with anxiety. You shouldn't be perplexed when you are faced with problems. You shouldn't be troubled when you are in the midst of unforeseen or unplanned circumstances, because you know that all things work together for the good. The end is your advantage. Many people shout once the problem starts, if only they can wait, hold their peace to the end of the problem, because the end is meant to be to the advantage. Somebody say amen to that. If an unbeliever falls sick, he may not end up well. He may die in the process. They may suffer. But if a believer falls sick, knowing that all things work together for his good, what should he do? Rejoice. Because the end of that sickness will be something good. Let me give you a very practical example. Our brother came here to testify with his wife, AY. Few days to his wedding, he fell sick and was unconscious. Thank God he was revived, went for the wedding. As soon as the wedding was over, perhaps the next day or 2 days after, he was sick again and they had to hospitalize him. Somebody will look at that. In fact, an unbeliever and a believer may even look at that and say, what kind of bad luck is this? Why are the village people pressing his buttons? But unknown to him, there was going to be a police case later that week. And if he was not sick, he would have been taken to jail. So when the police came looking for everybody, they arrested everybody. When they came for him, they saw that he was in the hospital. They said, okay, you remain there. Send somebody to stand as your shorty. Later, he told me even the shorty was arrested and locked up. He became well when the issue was sorted. All things are working together. This delay that you are going through, have you waited for the end of it? We quote scriptures, but we don't know it. Never you as a child of God weep or mourn or be in misery when you are faced with troubles. Here is how the Bible puts it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 8. It says we are pressed. You can give us that scripture. He said, we are hard pressed on every side. You are choked with problems everywhere. Marriage problem, finance problem, this one problem. He said, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are not hopeless. He said, we are persecuted. Next verse. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Even in the midst of the fire, God was with the three Hebrew boys. He allowed them to go through it for a reason, so that he can make a name for himself. If they had disappeared as soon as they entered the fire, Nebuchadnezzar would say, well, no problem. Obviously, they had their own God. Okay, everybody still bow down to my statue. But because God did not want that statue to prevail, but his name to prevail in Babylon, he allowed them to enter the fire. In fact, the fire destroyed the people that threw them inside. I'm sure Shadrach, his heart caught. When he saw the person that threw him in, fell down, died. Shadrach said, we are in for trouble. Just like you are in a car and you are about to have an accident. You can see the trailer in front of you. Jesus! Somebody will even say, I don't die. No. Wait till you see the end. He said, persecuted but not forsaken. Struck down but not destroyed. Because it will work in your advantage. Luke chapter 21 verse 13. Let this be a prayer for somebody in the name of Jesus Christ. He say, give us King James translation. We are going to read it on the screen. You are reading this and it will become your reality from today in Jesus' name. One, two, go. And it shall turn to me for a testimony. Read it like you believe it. One, two, go. and it shall turn to me. Clap your hands and give Jesus praise.
It will always be like this. The Lord will perfect concerning.
He will perfect it at the end.
Sooner or later, you turn in my favor. He's turning around for me.
Sooner or later. But it will turn in my favor. Why? Because all things, for we know. Not we think, for we know. How many things do you know about yourself? For we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, and to them that are called according to his purpose. If you are in the center of the will of God for your life, laugh at every problem that the enemy throws at you. Even the devil will be employed. His services will be employed to further propel you to where God wants you to be. Sometimes the things that you go through in life, even when you know it's the devil that is trying you, even though when you know the devil is the one attacking you, you know, God has to verify the reason for why we should be lifted at every season in life. And so he allows the devil to attack you sometimes, because it is written in his word, 1 Peter 5 verse 10. But now the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory, after you have suffered for a while, he will perfect you, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. Now that is the word of God. That means when a believer suffers, after a while that suffering should come to an end, and they should experience this scripture. So will God be the one to make you suffer? No. Only good proceeds from God. But God is in a hurry to lift you. But he can't lift you until you have gone through that process of suffering. So what does he do? He employs the services of the devil. He stepped back. Satan, afflict her with sickness for 2 weeks. Make her lose her job. Let her be part of those that were affected by Trump's policy. No problem. And Satan too, foolishly, say, yes, I've been looking for a way to attack. He would enter, not knowing that he was part of God's plan. You needed to fulfill the word of God that says, after you have suffered for a while. So you see, if Satan knows this, if Satan knows that you know that his services are employed by God for your lifting, I guess he will not trouble you always. There are things you need to know. You need to have a different orientation. Otherwise, you will go through this life as a loser. It's going to be dependent on what you know. And it's sad because I can't know for you. You need to know for yourself. Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 8. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. When he ascended, what did he do? He led captivity captive and he gave gifts. We're going to come to that in a moment, because we're talking about operating from the realm of ascension. When Jesus ascended to heaven and was seated as Lord and Christ on the right hand of the Father, that exercise, what did he achieve for me and you? And how does it connect to our divine calling and purpose? Is what I want to talk to you about. Point number one. In Christ Jesus, we have been called and chosen by God. In Christ Jesus, we have been called and chosen by God to a divine purpose. Let me say it again for those who are writing. In Christ Jesus, we have been called and chosen by God to a divine purpose. We have been called and chosen by God to a divine purpose in Christ Jesus. What does it mean when we say in Christ Jesus? The moment you accept what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, the moment you accept the fact that he died for your sins, and you in him died to sin, it's no longer you that is living, it's now Christ that is living through you. You are now a new creature in Christ Jesus. You are alive, but in Christ, meaning you are bearing his image and his identity. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me use something for an example. Who has money here? Who has money? I appreciate if it's a minted note. If it's not minted, no problem. But if it's minted, please bring it. Don't worry, I won't take it. And bring one of these offering envelopes for me. Minted. Yes, my dear. Thank you. Ah, this woman is a big woman. Oh. You will be one of my greatest financiers in Jesus' name. You don't like that prayer, ba? So enjoy poverty now if you don't like the prayer. I say you'll be one of my financiers in Jesus' name. That means you are going to have more money. Amen. God doesn't bless you only for you. This is money, isn't it? There's a 50 naira note and there's also the 200 naira note, isn't it? This money has its identity, it has its image. Right? Now imagine it's offering time and I put the money in this envelope. Why did you give me the envelope that is torn? Watch this now. How many of you can see the money? What are you seeing? This is what it means to be in Christ Jesus. You will no longer see the money. The money now takes the identity of the envelope. So when the Bible says if a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. When you accept by the confession of faith what Jesus did on the cross, you are now born again. Meaning, you'll now have a new life, but that new life carries an identity which is the identity of Christ. So when God and Spirit see you, they are not seeing you, they are seeing Christ. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can't tell how much is in this envelope. All you know is that you are looking at an envelope. There is something inside, but it is inside the envelope. Now, I said point number one. Thank you very much. Please get it to her. I say you'll be one of my major financiers in Jesus' name. Kola as Prince Kofela Takayanda. Okay, prophecy time now. Your organization is going to call you back. But that's not the main job. I saw something coming like an international offer. Do you believe what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It will happen in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let's get back to the word. So point number one, I said in Christ Jesus, we have been called and chosen by God to a divine purpose. Very, very interesting to know that fact. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. Let me prove through some scriptures. 1 verse 4 of Ephesians. Just as he chose us in him. Somebody say, I am chosen. In our I Am confession, we used to say, I am chosen and divinely ordained. These are scriptures where we got it from. Do you know what it means to be chosen? For you to choose something, it means there is a criteria for selection. And it also means there will be some bias, some prejudice. You'll have to pick one above others. Now the Bible says he chose us in him. Say, I am chosen. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He chose us to be carriers of his divine nature. That's what it means by being holy that we are carriers of his divine nature. To be holy means to be separated and set apart. In other words, before God even created the earth, he chose you. He knew you before your mother had you in your womb. Even before the earth was created. And he marked you before the foundations of the world. That when you come into this life, you will be born again and you will be a carrier of his divine nature. That nature shows that you are separated unto God. That you carry his seal upon you. That you carry his identity upon you. And as such, you should be treated according to the God class. Somebody say amen to that. Once you become a governor or a president, there are certain protocol established around you, isn't it? DSS. You have DSS operatives around you. You have official cars. This and that and this and that. And those things will continue for as long as you are governor. And I think even when you become an ex-governor or ex-president, you still have those attaché with you. That's what it means. When the Bible says we are chosen. So we have been called and chosen by God to a divine purpose. Romans 8:28, where we read, says that we are the called according to his purpose. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 to 5 and verse 9, talking about that divine purpose so you can understand. Of course, the purpose there is God's ultimate will and plan for all that he created. Why did God create you? And why did he create you to be conformed to the image of his son? Why did he design that when you come in this world, you will be born again and you will carry his nature? That why is what we call or refer to as divine purpose. So that you don't mistake it. What some of us call purpose is ambition. I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lecturer. That's a good ambition and it's healthy to be ambitious. But divine purpose is more than what you do. It's a call to be. That you will become a bearer and a partaker of the nature of God. It's the highest honor any man can receive. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 4 to 5. Quickly. But he said, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Rejected by men, chosen by God. You also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So this is why he chose us. We were rejected by men, but God chose us. And he chose us to become like a house that will contain his essence, his life on earth. Just like this body is housing your spirit. We all have been chosen as a body to house and to manifest the life and the essence of God. Meaning God wants to use our form to manifest on the earth. Not only that, that same verse 5, it says that we have been chosen as a holy priesthood, separated. What does it mean to be a priest? A priest is a mediator between two parties. God chose us so that we can mediate between him and creation, between him and unbelievers. That means anything that God will do on earth, he will do it cooperating with us. And that so that we can operate in spiritual authority on earth as priests. Now, verse 9, which is a popular scripture that you know. But you are a chosen generation. We are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. Do you think about what you read? You know, you are just reading. Do you think God is interested in showing you how much English he has? Look at how the Bible describes us. A chosen generation. A royal priesthood. That's why I wore this chain. I didn't do it for a fizzy. This is, on it is the emblem of a crown. If you look at it very well. Why? Because I am of royal blood, royal lineage. I don't know what my grandfather or great-grandfather believes. I don't know what God they serve. But me, oh, in Christ Jesus, I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a king. And guess what? My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is of a superior world, a superior realm. So you don't walk around like a loser. You don't walk around like somebody who has given up, or walk around like somebody who has no hope. No. You walk around as royalty. It should affect everything you do, because that's who you are. That's your nature. When you buy things, do you consider that a king is making a purchase? I know you don't have too much money, but that money that you have, use it to buy something good at that value. Not that you have money to buy chicken. You now go to where they are killing ram. No, Farah is even, I think it's more nutritious. And then you tell them, you say, because I'm trying to economize. You have money for chicken, you know, or you say, because I'm trying to, give me biscuit bone, biscuit bone. How many of you know that? Huh? You have money for chicken. Why are you buying biscuit bone? Are you a bone? Some of you, even how you treat yourself before people. Some of us have a subservient mentality. Everywhere you go, you think that you are under, people are above. The Bible says, he that is above, from above, is above all. You are from above, therefore you are naturally above. It's not pride, it's just who you are. The most preferred spot should be kept for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Why? Because you are conscious of the fact that you are a royal priesthood. Are you hearing me? Let's finish up. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. And then you open your mouth and say, nobody loves me. Everybody has forsaken me. Everybody has forgotten me. I'm alone. When the Bible says you are his own, do you know what it means for God to put an ownership on you? How do you live your life? Because this is how me I live my life. Oh. Anytime we are driving to the airport, we are rushing, because I don't know why, but I've never been able to go to the airport early. I'm always going when the plane has landed or is about to land. I don't know why. Don't copy me, because you may miss your flight. But me, I will never miss my flight. Amen? You go and copy me and say, I'm like a apostle. You will so miss that flight. Amen. But I just sit back at the back of the car and relax. And I just know that that plane must wait for me. I told you a story one time. I was traveling from Abuja back to Maiduguri. We got to the airport late. Why? Because plenty of people came to see me in the morning. They knew I had a flight, but they were still there looking for prayer and blessing. So we rushed off to the airport. When we got to the airport, they said they've called final boarding. Thank God my boarding pass had been, you know, printed. So we went up there. When we looked at the boarding gate, from the boarding gate, when we looked at the plane, they were about to, you know, remove the staircase and shut it. The person that came with me, I don't know what he told the person at the counter. I just saw the guy took his walkie-talkie and whispered something, communicated to the pilot. I don't know, maybe he told them a VIP is coming on board, or I don't know what he said. I don't know. Thank God I don't know. If they lied, it's their own. They waited for me till I entered the plane. When I entered, everybody, including the VIPs, including those who were in the first class, and you see the problem, I was in economy. Including those who were in the business class, you know, some top politicians and all of that. I think even the deputy governor also. That was how I entered. I saw the people at the plane there. While I was going towards the plane, they say, run! I say, me. Run. No way. A lion is a lion, let me tell you the truth. Even when he knows he's outnumbered, he will still show. Are you hearing me?
They say, run. All of them were looking. I think there was this annoyance on their face. Is this the person we waited for? But they had communicated something to them that I didn't hear. So when I came, nobody argued with me. You are welcome, sir. This your thing, we can't put it, we have to check it for now. The luggage I carried, I thought it was going to pass for hand luggage. No, I knew it wouldn't pass for hand luggage. It was supposed to be in the boot of the plane. But because I came late, they didn't clear it for. But when I got there, they said, Oga, we'll tag it and put it there. They put it there, I entered, I looked at everybody's face, and I walked majestically to my economy seat. Say amen. Me, I believe that God can be partial for me. I don't know about you. I believe that God so loved me that he can even pause your blessing to attend to me. Me that's praying for you and blessing. That's how I believe. I've been living like that for years. It's my belief system. Even the devil knows. I'm looking for a house. They bring, I say, no, I don't like this house. No. Make sure I get a good place. And when they are doing the design, I say, no, do it very well. Because it has to be special. Because the person coming in there is special. His own special people. That does not mean that you want to go and brag. And for head, you don't know anything. No. Have value that you can offer. But with the value that you carry yourself as a dignified entity. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Let's finish up. His own special people. That you may proclaim the praises. Now this is his purpose for us. That you may proclaim the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. When he says proclaim his praises, initial understanding is yes, to proclaim. And that's why it's the gospel that we preach. Everything about the gospel we preach is proclaiming the name of God. And the praises there speak about the virtue of God. His power, his love, his faithfulness, his mercies. Those are virtues. So the word praises there means virtues. It doesn't mean praise the Lord. No, it means virtues. So your life, your speech, everything about you, this is the purpose for why you were created in Christ Jesus. That you will show forth the praises. You will be an expression of the virtue, the life of him who called you out of darkness to his marvelous light. Somebody say amen. So point number one, in Christ Jesus, we've been called and chosen by God to a divine purpose. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, the Bible tells us that we have been created in Christ Jesus unto every good works which God had foreordained. God ordained beforehand that we were going to be saved to manifest good works. The miraculous, the power of God, the grace of God. Everything you do is meant to be considered as a good work. That showcases and expresses God, his kingdom, his power, and his glory. In John 15 verse 16, Jesus said to his disciples, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And ordained you that you will go forth and bear fruit. So we have been called to a life of results. Superior results that showcases the greatness of the kingdom that we represent. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that is captured in all that you do on earth. Point number two, our divine call sets us apart. Our divine call sets us apart, distinguishes us, separates us, distincts us amongst many. Our divine call, Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Our divine calling has separated us to enjoy this benefit, that all things work together for our good. Why?
because we are in the center of divine purpose. We are in the center of God's will for us. Therefore, all things must work together to our advantage. Say after me, in this life, everything that has, that will, or is happening around me is to my advantage. Romans chapter 9 verse 11, Romans. I said our divine call sets us apart. For the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand. Not of works, but of him who calls. So everything we enjoy as believers, the favor of God, the grace of God, the hand of God, every good thing that you will enjoy, according to this scripture, is not because of what we have done, not of works, but according to him that calls. Keep the scripture for us. I said our divine call sets us apart. It's called election of grace. The reason why you are prospering is because God has elected you by grace to prosper. Whether you are from an Igbo tribe, whether you are from Yoruba, whether your father went to school or did not go to school. I wish I had time to talk about this election of grace. When you look at your life as an individual, some of you can see certain things that you can do naturally. Others may struggle to do it, but for you, it's just natural. Why? Is it because your face is prettier than theirs? No. Is it because there's some form of favoritism around your life? No, not really. In a way, but not really. Is it because of anything you have done to impress God ahead of time? No. Election of grace happened even before we were created. That's why you are called as a music minister. That's why even though you don't have voice like the others, God put a grace on your life. Others will come and sing. Everybody will be looking at them with annoyance. Sing and leave now. Sing and leave now. Even when they sing, hey, yeah, yeah, hey, yeah. Nobody's moving. Everybody just leave the stage now. But you, once you come and say, somebody give Jesus a shout of praise. Everybody is, the whole place. Why? Is it because you pray so much? Not really. It's election of grace. That's what you need to understand as ministers. All this spiritual exercise that we do it to grow. We do it to build ourselves and grow in the knowledge of God. But when you stand in your calling, when you stand to minister, don't stand thinking of the 3 days dry fasting you did. You are in for trouble. In fact, the fasting will activate there that you don't have energy. So you will not be able to open your mouth. I know of a pastor who said many years ago, they were to have a crusade. Komalu Kayavanda Sudu Kabren de Kila. And he said, God, I want the dead to be raised in this crusade. Okay. So he fasted for 3 days, no food, no water. And he came to the crusade ground with that fasting. He didn't break the fast. Why? Because the dead must be raised. When he came and took the mic, man of God, perform. He said his mouth started closing. As if there was gum in his mouth. His mouth was closing. The last he remembered was that they were carrying him out. And somebody came and took the mic. And somebody who didn't fast manifested what he fasted for. Because he stood there. Am I saying the fasting is wrong? No. But he stood there on the basis of his fasting. It is not by the works of law. It is by the election of grace. God has elected you for that office. Case closed. Fast or no fast, it will manifest. Why? Because you were elected for it. That's why you see Samson misbehave now. And in misbehavior, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And he will slay 1,000 men. Am I saying that, am I teaching lasciviousness? No. But I'm just saying, when you stand in your call, in your assignment, in your ministry, in your office, stand with the mentality of the election of grace. God, many were called, but you were chosen by God for that office. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm not the only man of God in this town. No, there are so many that God is using. I pray every day, almost every day, that God will raise many like me. But the truth is, you can't have another Apostle Jonathan Lagang in this territory. There's no one like me. It's election of grace. I didn't tell God to call me as an apostle. I was praying and playing music when God picked me. If you beef me, you are on your own. It will not stop the manifestation of the grace on my life. Case closed. You know, some people go around wishing that one day you will fail. They will wish in vain. Because what is working is stronger than time. It's called election of grace. I don't have haters except those who feel that they are my haters. Don't hate me. Come and wear the shoe and know where it pinches. It's election of grace. Election of grace. That's why I said in that point number two that our divine calling sets us apart. And then you do it flawlessly and effortlessly. Why? Because you were meant to show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Sometimes for me to move in the prophetic, then I had to pray, I have to pray, to fast, to be very sensitive, this one and that one. But my brother is here. Even with chicken in his mouth, he can enter. It's election of grace. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So find your own place and remain there. Don't try to be like others. Be you. You are too original for you to think of a photocopy. You are too original for you to think of being a photocopy. No. Don't try to sound like Dunsin Oyekon. What you are seeing is the manifestation of his own election of grace. The world is waiting to see your own. When you were praying in a secret place, God told you that concert that you are going, this song that I gave you, go and sing it there. Say, well, this song too. When you now went there, you saw everybody singing Popular Demand to move the crowd. So you threw your own song aside. I say, I'll sing from my spirit to my soul. No problem. The moment you stand there and do that, all the angels that God sent to guide, to walk with you, they will just leave. Then the place will go from cold to cool. I mean, from cool to cold. Allow Dunsin Oyekon to be Dunsin Oyekon. You be you. Our divine calling sets us apart. Number three. When Jesus ascended, I'll give you 4 points under this number three. When Jesus ascended, what happened? I'll give you 4 points. Point number one and number two has established the fact of our divine calling and purpose. Now we want to connect it to the ascension of Jesus. Remember, the topic is operating from the realm of ascension. Are you ready? Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 8 to 11. Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 8 to 11. I want to explain something from the scriptures. Please pay your attention right now. I want to explain something very powerful. Ephesians 4, 8 to 11. Are we there? Ephesians 4, 8, thank you. Therefore he says, when he ascended on high, the he now that ascended is Jesus Christ. After his resurrection. You remember? He told Mary in John chapter 20. He said, I've not ascended. He tell my disciples that I'm ascending to my God and your God, to my Father and to your Father. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Some scholars think that the captivity there he was talking about was those people that Jesus went to preach to that were, because of their sins, they were held under the domain of the devil in hell. You know, before Jesus came, there were people who didn't believe in God. And as such, they were not justified because of their lack of faith and obedience in God. When they died, they were reserved in hell. awaiting the final judgment. So when Jesus came and died, the first thing he did was that he descended into hell. Give us verse 9 of Ephesians chapter 4. I'm trying to explain the captivity that you saw in verse 8. Now, this he ascended. What does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. That's one of the adumbrations for hell in the Bible. When the Bible speaks of hell, this explains it. The lower parts of the earth. That means hell is under the earth. So, he who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, he went to hell. He preached to those who were in Satan's prison in hell, who didn't believe in God before the coming of Jesus. He preached the gospel. What was the gospel? That he was the way to the Father. And that in believing in him, they will be saved. He went to preach to those spirits. When he preached to them and they were converted, he left hell with them. But before he left hell, he defeated Satan and his demons. Took the keys of hell and death. And ascended from hell. All of this happened within the 3 days that Jesus died and was buried in the tomb. Spiritually, of course. I'll prove it to you. 1 Peter chapter 3 from verse 18 to 22. 1 Peter 3, 18 to 22. For Christ also suffered once for sin. For sins. The just for the unjust. That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Verse 19. By whom also, by the Spirit, he, Christ, went and preached to the spirits in prison. That's what it means when Ephesians says that before he ascended, he descended to the lower parts of the earth. He went to hell, the prison in hell, where Satan kept all the unrighteous people who didn't believe in God. He went there and preached to them. You didn't believe because I was not around. Now I'm the one. Believe in me. Huh? Go back to verse 19. He preached to the spirits in prison. Next verse. Who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long suffering waited in the days of Noah. So you see, even from the days of Noah, those people that refused to believe Noah and enter the ark, and they were killed by the flood. Their spirits were held up because of disobedience in hell. So Jesus went and preached to those ones. While the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls were. Next verse, please. There is also an antitype which now saves us. Baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 22. Who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. So when he preached to those guys and they accepted him and they were converted, and he had dismantled hell, defeated hell and death, defeated Satan and his demons, he ascended. That was now when he resurrected on the third day. That's why when you read Revelations chapter 1, it says, I was he who was dead, but I am alive now and have the keys of hell and death. So Jesus didn't just die on the cross. When he died, he went down to hell and a battle ensued in those 3 days. How he was able to defeat Satan and all the demons is something we will not be able to explain. That is the reason why the Bible calls him the man of war. The Lord of hosts is his name. So when he resurrected with glory. And then he ascended into heaven with those guys. Some scholars believe that Ephesians chapter 4 verse 8, the captivity captive is these guys that we are talking about. But when you look at it in verse 4 and 8, it says he led captivity captive. If he was truly talking about the guys that repented when they heard, when they saw Jesus in hell and followed him, they were not meant to still be called captives. Because now that they had repented by believing in Jesus, and Jesus had defeated Satan and death, according to Hebrews 2 verse 14 and 15, they were not still going to be captives. They were now free. So the captivity in verse 8 there is talking about an individual. The prince of the power of the air. Satan himself, who is captivity. So when Jesus ascended, Satan was captured, was made a captive. And the Bible says in Colossians chapter 2 verse 15, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a public show of them, triumphing over them. You know what it means? You defeat somebody, tie a chain around their neck, and drag them for everybody to see. That's what Jesus did to captivity, which is Satan himself. So you see that in his ascension, Satan was defeated. And not only was Satan defeated, the Bible says, we were given access to an economy of the kingdom. The Bible called it grace. That grace is a gift that God has given to us. He gave gifts unto men. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, the Bible says you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And in Acts chapter 2 verse 32 to 36, Peter explained why the Holy Spirit has come on earth. That the reason why the Holy Spirit came on the 120 believers, and from that time till today, he comes on everyone that believes in Jesus, is because Jesus has been ascended to heaven, or has ascended to heaven, and has been coronated as Lord and Christ. Acts chapter 2 verse 32. Yes, let's read from here. It said, therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. 36 explains everything. Therefore, let the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, Lord and Christ. So, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the earth in such a way that we can receive the Holy Spirit and even receive spiritual gifts is possible because Jesus ascended. So the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the release of the promise of the Holy Spirit, is facilitated by the economy of his ascension. Last week we celebrated what the death and resurrection of Jesus did for us. But now we are talking about what the ascension of Jesus did. That because he ascended, the Holy Spirit has been poured out on us. And each of us now becomes a carrier of spiritual gifts. Each of us now becomes a partaker of the grace of God. That grace gives us the ability to do for God, the ability to be saved unto good works, the ability to manifest the power and the grace of God. You see why it's connected to your calling as a believer. 4 things that happened when Jesus ascended. Number 1, he was exalted as Lord and Christ. Ephesians 1, 20 to 21. When Jesus ascended, he was exalted as Lord, which he walked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. In all the ages, Jesus has been exalted as Lord and Christ. Lord means owner. Meaning, he has been qualified to take up the title as Lord, as owner of everything. Christ is the office of the one that manipulates everything in heaven, on earth, and in hell according to the counsel of the will of God. It's like God reserved an office for somebody to be his sole administrator. So that word Christ is not his name. Is the office he occupied because he ascended into heaven. Lord and Christ. That's the reason why he can appear to an imam in a mosque and he'll be born again. You know why? He is Lord and Christ. He doesn't need protocol to enter anywhere. That title means he has the key to everything. He can appear to Paul on the road to Damascus. Saul, why are you persecuting me? And the guy changed. When God is tired of the games that the devil is playing around your life, he activates that office of the Lord and Christ. He just shows up and drives all the devils. Even if the devil says, and God, it's one more year for him to suffer. Say, as Christ, I say is enough. It's a powerful thing to know. It also means that your calling, your divine calling as a believer, whatever it is that you have been called by God to be, and whatever you were chosen to do for him on earth, is that calling is operated by the office of the Christ. So, as an apostle, this office that I occupy is operated not by me, by the office of the Christ. That means there is an authority in this office that comes from the highest point. So number one, I said he was exalted as Lord and Christ. Number two, he filled all things. What happened when Jesus ascended? He filled all things. Fill in quote. He filled all things. Like when you are filling up something. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 8. What does he say? Therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Verse 9. Verse 10. He who descended is also the one, see the O in capital letter, who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill. So his ascension above principalities, above powers, because you see, there are heights in the heavens. The heavens, the spiritual world that is beyond us, there are heights. And in these heights, there are enthroned forces. There are principalities, there are powers, there are thrones, there are dominions, there are names. There are spirits with higher position, and that position gives them superior authority. Yet Jesus ascended above all those people. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. Above all thrones and dominions, all power and positions, your name. That's why we sing that song, because if he had just resurrected, maybe another spirit that had a higher position than him in heaven will be above him. And think of it, if there is another spirit that is above Jesus Christ, I hope you know we are in trouble. Satan can manipulate that spirit. That's why he had to ascend above all the satanic principalities and powers. The Bible talks about them. It says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Do you know who principalities are? These are spirits that are equal to Satan. Satan's rebellion in heaven was based on deception. Yes, he had authority over some angels. The Bible says with his tail, he drew 1/3 of the stars in heaven. So you can put, perhaps at that time, Satan had authority over up to 1/3 of the angels in heaven. But there were some other angels he didn't have authority over. They were either equal in rank or maybe a little bit above him. So he went and deceived them. He brokered a deal with them, a transaction. If we rebel against God and unseat him, I will give you position over this realm. I will give you position over this part of earth. I will give you this. I will give you. I say, okay, where are we to? We want that. So let's go together. Spirits like death. spirit like the destroyer. The Bible calls that spirit the destroyer, or Abaddon, or Apollyon. Have you seen those names in the Bible? There is one name for one spirit called the destroyer. Isaiah 54 verse 16 says, I have created the blacksmith that blows the coals of fire, and the destroyer that wasted. Another name for him is the spoiler. Anytime there's destruction, he's the one that shows up. He's a spirit of his own. How was Satan? Satan had to convince all of them, let's rebel against God. All of them, God gave them authorities in the heavens. That's why, I don't know when we'll, I pray, you know, I pray the day will come where we get to talk about angels. And I'll show you their ranking and their position. And why that there are some angels that don't have wings. And there are some angels that have wings. Some two, some four, some six. All of this is based on their ranking, the authority that they have. Because by the authority you have, that you can command certain level of power. This thing I'm saying is spiritual now. So Jesus had to ascend above. His throne had to be above all these spirits. Otherwise, he will not be qualified to be called Lord and Christ. And in his ascension, he had the height. He had the advantage of position. And because of that, he could possess everything that was created by his spirit. That's why all things can work together for your good. Why? Because the reason why all things can work together for your good is because he, when he ascended, he possessed all things. He filled all things. So he can make all things work together for your good. You don't catch it now, you'll catch it tomorrow. You'll catch it next week. You'll catch it next month. You'll catch it one day. Number three, when he ascended, he led captivity captive. And I told you who captivity is. The prince of the power of the air, Satan himself. Jesus captured him, disarmed him. And that's why nobody who is a believer should live under demonic oppression. Because the master captor has been captive and disarmed of his powers. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Finally, when Jesus ascended, he gave gifts to men. He gave gifts to men. He gave gifts to men. Ephesians 4 verse 8 says he gave gifts. What does it mean? He gave gifts to men. Of course, we know number one, that the coming of the Holy Spirit is as a result of the ascension of Jesus as Lord and exaltation of Jesus as Lord and Christ. So you can start with spiritual gifts that every believer can receive by the Holy Ghost. But then there is also something called the gifts of grace, which is controlled by the office of the Christ. So when the Bible says in Ephesians 4 verse 8, he gave gifts to men, he meant he gave himself to men. In other words, he selected some men to represent him. Verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 4. He selected some men to represent him. And he himself gave some to be apostles. I hope you know Jesus was also an apostle. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1 calls him the apostle of our commission. The high priest, an apostle of our confession. So when Jesus was alive, he was the apostle, he was the prophet, he was the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, he was all of that. But because these gifts domiciled in him was needed to manifest through men, to train men, to edify men, to grow the body of Christ. So when he ascended, he replicated himself into others. So the reason why somebody can be called an apostle is because Jesus ascended. And by his ascension, that person has been called and elected by grace to occupy that position as an apostle. An apostle is a specially commissioned messenger. The one that is called to represent Jesus to his body. The one that is given the authority and the grace to bring order and balance. The one that is called to lay a foundation through the teaching of the word, the revelation of Jesus Christ to the church. In fact, every other gift can only operate in the body of Christ when within that territory, the apostle has laid and established that foundation of Jesus. That's the reason why most apostles have personal and direct encounters with Jesus. And it's not like in the encounter he will tell you, go and tell my people this, not lie. He will just show himself to you. And a library of revelation will be seeded into your spirit. So you will see the guy, small boy. How many degrees does he have? How old is he? But when he's speaking, he's commanding ancient wisdom. Why? Because he has seen the Christ. If you don't have that encounter, don't stand in that office. Because you don't have the authority. Do you know how many times people have told me that they saw me died in the last few years? Including so-called prophets. But it just cannot happen because of the authority and the mystery that surrounds the office I occupy. So if it was a lie that I was an apostle, those dreams would have come to pass. And then the prophet, the one that God uses to teach inspired in an inspired way, the body of Christ, bring them into a personal relationship with God. The prophet is meant to model the person of Jesus to his church and bring them to a place of fellowship and intimacy with Jesus. That's why you see prophets are very passionate people. They don't care about anything but what is in the heart of God. And it is in that office that they point people back to God. They correct the body of Christ and call them to order. Why? Because God has, by the Holy Spirit, shown them the order as it should be in the kingdom. That's why prophets have access to divine revelation. The difference between a prophet and one who operates the gift of prophecy. You know, you can be so sharp in the gift of prophecy, they will think you are a prophet. Just because you are sharp and accurate in word of knowledge doesn't make you a prophet, no. The gift of prophecy is given by the Holy Ghost to an individual. And it's the Holy Ghost that operates it in that individual. But the prophet is the gift. The gift of prophecy, the individual has it as a gift. But the prophet himself is the gift. That's why a prophet can be talking naturally and he's speaking the mind of God. He's speaking by revelation. You know why? He gave gifts to men. That prophet is a gift in himself. He's wired. His system, spirit, soul, and body is wired with divine revelation. He doesn't even know when he's piping into secrets from God and he's talking. That's the true office. You can be sharp in word of knowledge, sharp in all of those things, gift of prophecy and all of that, but don't call yourself a prophet if you are not called. Do you see the difference between these two is the gifts of the Spirit is operated by the Holy Ghost in a believer as he wills. The believer does not own the gift. The Holy Ghost operates it in the believer. But as the believer journeys in his fellowship with God, he can grow so strong in that gift that it is as though he has it hand into glove. But these other five offices, they don't have gifts. They are the gifts. He himself gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, pastors and teachers. They are administrative offices given by Jesus Christ himself. This one is not the Holy Ghost that gave. It's Jesus himself that elected these ones. You now see the definition of many are called, but few are. By that now, should I start going up and down? You must respect me. I'm an apostle. Kneel down. Put your back. No, come on. No. No, in fact, God looks for and trains very humble people for these things. Because they are administrative offices. If they make any mistake, the body of Christ will be in error. You look at what is happening in Nigeria today. So much that we should talk against and cry about and pray for. But it's because the offices are contending within themselves. ministry has become a career of success. Everybody is trying to say the other person is not doing well. The government is failing us. Talk about it. No. It's what one pastor said. If you have mind, go and talk about that one. Immorality is increasing in the body of Christ. Cry against this. No. Why would this pastor say some people who occupy this office, with all due respect, but really I don't really know when last they saw the Lord. Because if Jesus chose all of us himself, respect the other person. Because who are you to judge another man's servant? Before God, he standeth and falleth. What's my business with what he said? Jesus hate the poor. There are better things to worry about and talk against. But you know, the church in Nigeria is almost losing our voice. Because some of the people in these offices have corrupted the offices. We have collected bribes from politicians. It's the money that politicians stole from the government that is building our churches, that is paying our instrumentalists, paying everybody. And we can't talk because we share and partake in it. I had a dream last... Let me tell you something. Follow God first. God showed me something 2 nights ago. I was shocked. I can't even talk about it. Make sure you are following God, though. Not a prophet. Yes, men of God are there to model examples for you, but make sure they are mirroring Christ. Nigeria is turning upside down. A lot of things are happening. When the voices should stand and speak and prophesy restoration and call the government back to order, we are here fighting ourselves. Why will he say this? Why will he say... The one that is saying, did he make somebody poor? I didn't say that for you. I said that to cry against that. So when Jesus ascended, number one, he was exalted as Lord and Christ. Number two, he filled all things. Number three, he led captivity captive. Number four, he gave gifts to men. That means our callings and our giftings were bettered from this powerful and authoritative realm of ascension. Your calling as an evangelist, whoever God has called you to be, it was bettered from this realm of ascension. And because of that, there are two things that will happen to you, and then we'll pray. Number one, because your calling, your giftings, and your graces were bettered from the realm of Jesus' ascension, number one, it is impossible to fail in your divine calling. It is impossible to fail. It is impossible to fail. Do you know this song? Because he lives, Jesus, I live. I have no fear of what tomorrow brings. Because he lives, Jesus, I live to praise. I live to praise your name. Maybe we'll sing that song at the end. But hear this. Your calling, what bettered your calling as a believer was in the ascension of Jesus. And when he ascended far above principalities and powers and thrones and dominions and names. That means there is no other spirit or any other name that has more superior authority or power to that which Jesus has. Therefore, if from that realm of ascension, he called you to a divine purpose, nothing in this life can make you fail in what he called you to do. I need to say that because a lot of you are giving up on what God has called you to do. A lot of you have become frustrated. You never think you will make it. Satan has lied and said many things to us. But when last were you told that it is impossible for you to fail in your divine calling? You know why? The facility that powers it cannot fail.
If that facility could fail, somebody would have unsat Jesus by now. And he will not have all authority. Do you know what he mean? Jesus, before he left, he told his disciple, all authority in heaven and on earth. You can't boast empty boast by saying that. Meaning, I'm in charge of everything. And he says, go into the world. So if our calling is bettered from that realm that carries all authority and power, it's impossible for you to fail, sir. It's impossible. You need to understand that your positional advantage in life and in spiritual warfare is necessary for your victory. The devil may attack your body, attack this one, attack that one, but you see that call. The only reason I will make you fail in that call is when you give up. Because it's impossible to fail. The realm that bettered your divine calling. If you say God has called you and given you the gift of government and placed you in one institution or the other, no matter how they fight you there, they are fighting a lost battle, because the facility that powers that thing you are doing is the realm of ascension. It's impossible. This is not John the Baptist where you cut off his head and then that's the end of the ministry. No. It's impossible. It's impossible to fail. It may not work once and again, but it didn't mean you failed. If you failed, it's because you gave up on your calling. What has God called you to do? What has God chosen you to be? Why do you want to give up on it? Why do you want to shut it down? Why are you afraid of competition? You feel that everybody is doing this, so how will I stand out? Do you know how unique the blend of the call of your calling is? To show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness to his marvelous light. It's impossible, sir. No matter what the devil throws at you, it's impossible to fail. It's impossible. If you fail in your calling, only two things involve. You gave up, or Jesus is no longer Lord and Christ. That means the ascension don't spoil. But as long as he remains the only ascended king, all those other authorities, satanic or angelic, they were there because God placed them there. Jesus himself rose and ascended far above them. And it is from that realm that he has called you. You have a positional advantage. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2 from verse 4. We are going to pray now. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Didn't just made us alive and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And Ephesians chapter 1 verse 22 tells us that we are seated far above principalities and powers. 21 rather. Do you know what it means to be seated far above every principality? What's the name of the demon of your father's house? What is his name? Tell me, what is his name? Where is his position in your village? Yet you are seated far above even principalities that senior that one. Far above princes that are older than time. He raised us. When Jesus ascended, we ascended with him. And it is from that is the position you should live your life from. That's why I say he that is from above is above all. It is from there you approach your calling. No devil should tell you you can fail. It's impossible. It may not work here, but it will work somewhere else. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? When you see certain men of God so bold and confident, this may just be the revelation that they have that others don't have. The realm that bettered my calling as an apostle is the realm that has all authority and power. Which devil can make me fail? Doesn't matter how long they fight, you will always be assured of victory. And that's the thing the devil cannot understand. The reason is because The realm that powers your divine calling is the highest. We are seated far above principalities and powers. Number two, it is impossible to be defeated by the devil. Yes, so it is impossible to be defeated. Alanka kasko krateke bakalangele bahashangaya. Listen, some of you that say you lost, you may lose a battle, but you cannot lose the war. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Yes, we are at war against the devil. And one of the reasons for your divine call is to ensure that victory is established, dominion is established over Satan and his cohort. You may lose a battle, but you can't lose the war. Even some of us that claim that we have lost, oh, the devil has finished me. It was your confession that sealed the deal. Why? It's impossible for the devil to defeat a man whose divine calling is bettered from the realm of ascension. It's impossible. That means Jesus didn't ascend. He didn't rise above all principalities and powers. That means he has no right to call himself Christ. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above other names. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven. Of things in heaven, that the Bible even speaks about three heavens. Of things in heaven, of things on earth, and of things under the earth. Even in hell, that every tongue, including the tongue of the devil that doesn't want to confess, he must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. What will force the devil and his agents to confess Jesus as Lord is the same thing that powers your calling. So the devil, thinking he will defeat you in that call as a music minister, he lied. This is not the end of you. God is just making the story interesting by making the devil feel that he has gained power over you. No, it's impossible to be defeated. He can attack your finance, no problem. He can attack your relationship, no problem. He can even attack your marriage and then you get into a divorce. Catherine Kuhlman, the greatest part of her ministry happened after divorce. Am I saying divorce? No. But it was, can God use somebody who has divorced? The thing they didn't understand is the marriage was not bettered from the same realm with the calling. Learn to separate between the man and the calling. The man, Jonathan, may be sick, but the called Jonathan is stronger every day. Can I tell you something? Can you handle it? Maybe you can't handle it. In the last nearly 2 weeks, I've been on injections every day. Some of the Sundays I came here, they put needle. I can remove these things and show you different marks. Why? You see this thing that happened in my face? We did all kinds. We spent serious money in 50s looking for solution. No solution. You saw how the face was getting worse. So we went to the hospital. They took me to a microbiology lab. They cultured it and tested. The doctors, they were all shocked. They said that bacteria is a rare bacteria, number one. Number two, they said it is not even found in the face. Neither can it cause what is happening to your face. They said that bacteria, they only find it when they are treating UTIs, urinary tract infections. So delicate was the case that the entire department is writing on it now. All the antibiotics that you used to swallow, that you know, they tested it against the bacteria, it no work. I knew it was an attack, no problem. They said the only antibiotic is intravenous anti, you can't swallow, it's not, that one is not swallowed, it's intravenous. So they had to put, in fact, the first 3 days they had to put, I held it on my hand for 3 days. Pastor Henry was the one who came to put it. For 3 days. Imagine needle in your hand. I prayed with it. I studied with it. You know why? The man Jonathan was sick, but the called Jonathan was anointed. With that kind of thing, I should have stayed at home and said, I'm not coming out of it. That's when I came out the most. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You now see why me, I'm so fearless and rugged. Not the devil cannot defeat me in my calling. Anywhere else, but not my calling. Well, thank God for the healing now. At least this is the first Sunday without makeup in a while. But think of it. That means even in the miracle service or so, how is it possible for you to bring healing to people when you yourself, you have to go through injections and every treatment? If it was before, I would have been depressed by that thought. But now I understand that there's a difference between the man and the calling. When I stand there, it's not the man standing, it's the calling. When I go down, the man later. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'll preach today, I'll preach tomorrow, and I'll keep preaching. I'm telling you, I've faced worse things than that, oh. Let me tell you the truth. I've faced medical issues that they've even written it off. A consultant has told me you will never be able to fast again. A consultant looked at me. Bro, victory was there. 2021. But here I am standing. This is the mentality that will never allow you to give up. And you know what? Now that I've suffered that, it means a new chapter of glory is coming. Watch out for it. Open your mouth and speak to God where you are seated. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. All throne and dominions. All power and positions, your name stands above them all. We sing it again. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. Above all thrones. Hey. And dominions. Because all the angels cry, oh, all creations cry, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. That's why he says, for we know that all things work together. There was no day I sat down and I was crying at myself. I know, I face more. I face more. No. You can afflict the man, but not the calling. The man can be broke, but not the calling. That's the understanding that Paul the apostle has when he says that we being poor, yet making others rich. Because when you speak over people, you are not speaking based on your account or your pocket. You are speaking from your call, which is rooted in the ascension and exaltation of Jesus. You are speaking from the highest. If I didn't tell you, you wouldn't have even known. So you see that even last week, you see people gathered, they gathered to see, they didn't know that the man was sick. And guess what? I was fasting more with that. Don't try it, oh. There's something I know you may not know. You see them gather. They didn't know that the man was, after here I left for injection, went back. But there was never a day I was depressed. For we know that all things work together for the good of them who are the called. I don't know, I don't understand why this happened, but I know it will work out for my good. And one of the things I've noticed about my life is anytime I go through a season of, you know, medical crisis, the healing anointing doubles on my life. Next week is miracle service, ba? No problem. Aside from other anointings that come. So you see, Satan now attacking me with this mentality is a waste of time. That's why you smile and rejoice in the midst of challenges. Because it will work out for the good of the called. Are you called by God? Do you believe that you have been called to a divine purpose? That you have been destined? You are not an accident. Don't try to be like others. Be who God has called you to be. And in time, He will showcase you to your world. Hallelujah. Are you blessed tonight? You are going to pray in the spirit for 2 minutes. On the strength of the realm of ascension, I activate the full manifestation of my giftings, of my callings, and my graces. How many of you have watched Transformers? You can go and watch it this night. When you stand in your calling, it's like one of those Transformers. You change. Now, as you pray, you see, I just gave you the prayer point. That in the name of Jesus, on account of the realm of ascension, I activate the full manifestation of my giftings and callings. Because that's where you are powerful. That's where you are powerful. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's where you are powerful. I might not be anointed every day, but the moment somebody comes to me and acknowledges me as the call, bam! Transformers. I enter that mode and things begin to change in people's life. You are going to pray the spirit for 2 minutes and activate your own calling. Activate the power and the grace behind it. Open your mouth and pray in the name of Jesus. Please pray. Find the hand of somebody and pray, just in case you need strength. You need corporate backup. I activate the fullness of my grace, my giftings, my callings, the power that is behind my divine call. I activate it to begin to manifest. I activate it to begin to manifest. No marakana marosam bruno lo kotolo monene isbon rahamana. Pray on the strength of this revelation. Pray and begin to transform. Pray and begin to change. Pray and begin to activate. Begin to harness the power of your call, of your divine ordination. Step into who God has made you to be. Because He lives, Jesus, I live. I have no fear of what tomorrow brings. Yes, sir. Because He lives, Jesus, I live to praise. I live to praise. You paid a price, the highest price. Same progression. I'm so grateful for your love. You took my burden, on you it was laid, that I'll be called your very own. Because you live, Jesus, I live. I have no fear of what tomorrow brings. Because you live, Jesus, I live to pray.
I live to pray.
Sing it one more time. Because you live.
Because you live.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus, I live.
have no fear of what tomorrow brings, because you live, Jesus, I live to praise.
And shake yourself off that weakness. You are not weak, you are mighty. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. It's time for you to begin to operate from the realm of ascension. If he ascended above every name, above every throne, you too have been enthroned above every name, every throne, every principality and power. There is no force in heaven, on earth, and under the earth that can stand against the purpose of God in your life. In Jesus' name we pray. I'm going to pray for you tonight to be empowered. But I want you to live with this consciousness from today. Even if you don't understand the message completely, at least you understand one thing. That because your divine call was birthed from the realm of Jesus' ascension, number one, it is impossible to fail. Number two, it's impossible to be defeated by the devil. Live with that mentality every day. It doesn't mean that you will not face one or two hits from the devil. Nobody goes into a fight without getting a punch here or there. But know that you are coming out more than a conqueror. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That way you will not treat yourself based on what is in your account, because you are rich in glory. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's the reason why it's impossible for me to beg for myself. Me. Once I'm tempted to ask somebody, I ask myself. The man Jonathan is broke, but they called Jonathan. And I enter that place and outsource help. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I want to pray for you now. Lift your hands. Just lift your hands and be still. Please, eyes closed everywhere. God wants to activate some people. God wants to activate some people to begin to manifest in the fullness of the power of their call. Please, everybody standing, lift your hands, eyes closed. God wants to activate some people. Father, breathe on them. From today, let them begin to walk by the power that controls their calling. The same power that is rooted in the ascension of Jesus. That position of advantage that you have given to us. Let the power that is domiciled in that realm begin to manifest in their lives. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that in the name of Jesus, may that power come upon you now. No more failure. No more defeat. No more discouragement. No more despair. No more hopelessness. The angel of the Lord is touching me. I see about three people that the hand of God is resting upon right now. From the front to the back, from the left to the right. God is activating you to begin to function in your call. In the power that backs up your divine call. Step into it right now. Step into it right now. Touch in the name of Jesus. Obtain grace to leave from that realm. It's not done. I still see God touching people. I still see. He told Mary, say, the Spirit of God will come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Let that power that manipulates your divine call, that was sanctioned by the election of grace before time began, manifest in your life from today. Help them at the back there. Maranda ka kloskepen in amahai. I see God raising prophets from this place. I see God raising prophets. I see God distributing prophetic mantles. I see God distributing prophetic mantles. Some for intercession. For some, you will walk in the gift of prophecy. Receive it now. Receive it now. Receive it now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. That's the power of God. That's the power of God. There are seven people God is showing me. God has made you the head of your family. Now I release the staff of office for that position. From today, you have access to the resources, to the power, to the authority of headship in your family. I see about seven of you. And that grace is coming on you now so that you can become the emancipator, the deliverer, the one that will bring others out into the promise of God. Take it now. In the name of Jesus. Take it now. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. I decree and declare over your life from today. May God in this week reveal and cause to manifest the fullness of the power that is in your call. May the revelation of your divine call be made known to you. Many of you will begin to walk in the supernatural in a mighty way. Many of you will walk in spiritual gifts that you never thought you could have. It's upon you now. You will see it manifest. And on the strength of that, go and cause havoc to the kingdom of darkness. Go and succeed where you have failed. Go and remain undefeatable. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Clap your hands for Jesus. Are you blessed tonight? Please just leave those who are under the anointing. Let me make an altar call now. This is a sign that God will do so much next week. Let me make an altar call. You are here. And you want to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the one who died, rose again, and ascended far into the heavens. And in his ascension has given you all authority and power. The only way you can taste of it and enjoy it is when you believe and confess him as your Lord. You are here and you want to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You want to rededicate your life to him. Or you want him to set you free from certain things and draw you close to him. Say this prayer after me where you are standing. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I believe you as my Lord and Savior. I confess that you died and rose again for my salvation. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name,
Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Please raise your right hand if you pray that prayer with me. I want to see you and pray and speak a blessing over your life. Anybody that made that prayer, please raise your right hand. Let me see you. God bless you. Yeah, I see one hand there. God bless you. Please raise your right hand. Let me see you. Now take your Bibles, your bags, and everything that you have. Come to the front quickly. I want to pray for you. Let's celebrate them as they come. You made all things new. Yes, you made. Please keep coming. I'm waiting for you.
We'll follow you.
You make all things new, yes, you make all things new, and I will follow you forward. Hallelujah. Let's stretch our hands to these ones, making a decision for Jesus Christ today. And they are being adopted into the family of faith. Stretch your hands towards them and pray for them. Those of you in front, please lift up that right hand to heaven. Father, I pray for these ones. And in the name of Jesus, we decree and declare by the authority of your word that their sins are forgiven. That they are now born again, new creatures in Christ Jesus. From today, their victory over sin, Satan, death, hell, and the grave is sealed and established in their lives. In the name of Jesus, addiction is broken from their life. The power of witchcraft is broken off their life. The powers of their father's and mother's house is broken off their life. They walk and live and operate from the realm of ascension to serve you all the days of their lives in Jesus' name. God bless you. Amen and amen. Look at me. It's a new day for you. God is giving you a new book. All right? He's filling you with his spirit. And he's going to use you mightily in the name of Jesus. Please turn to your left. Meet that lady waving her hand. Our counselors want to have a word with you before you go. Celebrate them as they go.
If you've been blessed or inspired by this message, you can connect with us by liking our Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel at Sons of Glory Network International.